Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. Good morning, everybody. Mark and Steve here from the PBSC podcast. Happy to be with you this morning. We're excited for today's topic. Just like last week, we actually had a client question come through that we went ahead and answered one-on-one, but we wanted to expand on this week in the podcast because it's something that touches on gosh, most, if not all of the couples that we work with day-to-day in our office. It was kind of already in the back of our minds, but we also did our live D2C Dare to Connect program with our subscribers this morning and had a really cool discussion dialogue about betrayal trauma and needs and what love is versus not, et cetera. And that kind of pushed us over the edge to today, you know, making this a podcast, taking this topic, this question that was asked, you know, by a listener and kind of building on that a little bit. So the title of today's podcast is we're talking about, you know, is physical touch his love language? Right. So this is definitely a podcast directed to our spouses of addicts. But obviously, you addicts, we do encourage you to listen here as well. There's a lot of good things to be gained on both sides. And this is the question that we were asked in the book written by Gary Chapman. Now, I haven't looked at this book specifically. It talks about the five love languages, which most of you are probably familiar with. It's a concept that was come up with I can't remember his first name, but Gottman, the researcher. John Gottman was built on by other people. And so that's kind of what there is being referred to there. A lot of good information you can find on that if you Google it. My husband says his love language is physical touch. Our most sex addicts love language, physical touch. As a spouse, how do I honor my needs and authentically respect myself? There are days where I don't want to make eye contact, much less touch him after the betrayal. How do I make sense of this?
When I read that, I could relate to that so well. This was very much the history with my wife and my marriage relationship. And here's the thing about love languages. That terminology is helpful. One of the problems is when it becomes the be-all, end-all as a classification. Right? Yes. This is my love language, period.
Yes.
And people get very myopic with regard to this and they take it way too far. Mm-hmm. I see it as just a guide to start to kind of get you into the space of understanding how each other gives and receives love. But if you take it too far, it can become very restrictive and quite frankly, unhealthy and dysfunctional in my experience.
Yeah.
And so here's what happened for me. So I considered myself for decades to have a primary love language of physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way, you know, hugging and kissing and, you know, reassuring all the things that I craved physically. And that came from my childhood. because I didn't get it. I did not live in a demonstrative, physically demonstrative family. Yeah. There wasn't any hugging or any of that really, you know, warm physical side to it. And so I craved it. And it was, for me, it was very much told me whether I was worthy or not worthy, whether I was affirmed or loved or cared about, was whether someone was physical with me.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, all of you listening, that need, that physical neediness can come from a place of neglect as you're growing up and even in your teen years.
Yeah.
Not to say that it isn't legitimate, not to say that, you know, that it may be your primary way of receiving or giving love, but it can get very unbalanced easily. So I brought that neediness, that physical neediness into my marriage.
Yes.
And then when my wife wasn't as demonstrative in that way as I thought she should be, then I would go into this kind of pouty little boy mode, like, you know, she doesn't meet my needs. And, you know, I even got to, at one point in my addiction, where I became sort of offensive towards her, like she's sexually anorexic.
Yeah. You know,
sex doesn't matter to her. It's no big deal to her. She doesn't get me.
Mm-hmm. No,
I need this, and she should understand that I need this, and I can't go without this.
Yeah.
And I really put a lot of that stuff on her. And today, as I look back, I really, I misjudged her in a bunch of ways.
Yes.
It really doesn't describe her at all today. It wasn't that she wasn't physically demonstrative or just had no interest in it at all. If I'm going to be brutally honest, it was very much because of my neediness and coming at her with such a demanding attitude, that it really was a turnoff. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't meeting all of her other needs that are part of intimacy outside the physical realm. There's what we call holistic intimacy.
Yes.
And I work with my clients on 8 different areas of intimacy, only one of which is sexual.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wasn't giving my wife those other 7 areas of intimacy, and then I would come to her in sort of a needy, demanding attitude, I need sex, I need physical touch. How do you think she felt?
Yeah.
Right? He's neglecting all these other areas, and now he wants to have sex.
Well, and you bring up a great point. I love what you're sharing, and I wish I could, as I sarcastically often say, Mark, that's just a problem that you had. I never
just did. Me, right?
Just Mark. No listeners, and definitely not Steve. No. Steve didn't have those problems at all. No, it sounds like an oddly familiar tape you're playing there.
I know.
And you know, when we look at this term love language, right? The first thing that I guess I want to bring up is the love language concept is a valid one, right? There's research that backs it up. It is something that is true. And it is also true that typically the research will tell you that men are more easily excitable, turned on both physically and otherwise by visual stimuli and by tactile stimuli.
It's true.
More than women are. That is textbook. However, oftentimes when we are using the term love language, if we're not in a healthy state or in a way that where we're coming from a place of not fully understanding it. In other words, if physical touch continues to operate to any degree as a dependency in the relationship, right? Because addiction, whatever else it is always codependency by definition on multiple things, if nothing else than the behavior you're involved in, right? What we're looking at here is a topic that we've covered on here before, which is this difference between sex being a need versus a desire, right? Healthy intimacy is not, you know, Mark brought up this great term, holistic intimacy. I would argue that physical intimacy in more cases than not is holistic, because we talk about, and this has been my experience, I know Mark, you know, I've discussed this. I think we have found time and time again that healthy intimacy in most cases is an outward expression of an already pre-existing emotional component, right? If we're talking about the physical side, it's something that is led out with by the emotional intimacy and the safety and the transparency, right? And all those things in a marriage that create the space that we talk about for intimacy to develop. Just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how you can't manufacture intimacy. There's no way to sit down and say, okay, it is 8:00, honey. We will now have intimacy from 8 to 9:30, right? Intimacy is something that happens organically.
Well, and I have that come up so much in the work that I do with couples. I remember a fair while back, I had a couple where this division between the two of them was going on. His complaint was, look, man, my love language is physical touch. My wife just doesn't meet my needs. She's very aloof. She's very, very closed off. Mm-hmm. The physical doesn't mean anything to her. I have to beg, you know, and there was this big division, and he kind of described her kind of like this sexually anorexic person.
Yeah.
Well, it was such a stark thing to me as I talked with her alone, I got a whole different story.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into all that, but let me just for the listeners describe what she called the perfect day. Cause I asked her, has there been a time when you did feel physically close, mm-hmm. when the sexual intimacy was really wonderful? And she says, yes, I remember a day. And as she's described the day, they got up, they were talking, they had breakfast together. He helped fix breakfast. He helped do the dishes. They spent time in the garden. It was on a Saturday. They were talking and conversing and just had all of this really natural, wonderful, warm connection and closeness throughout the day. And he didn't have a big agenda in place by doing all this. Very important, everyone listening. He didn't have in the back of my mind, I'm going to do all this so that, you know, I can get her in bed later. No, he really genuinely was looking to just connect with his best friend.
Yeah.
And then here's what happened. By the time the evening came, it just naturally unfolded into this wonderful, sexually intimate time. Yes. And here's the thing. It became the culmination, the natural outcome, mm-hmm. the celebration of all the other intimacy that they had been sharing.
Yes.
It just sort of moved into that place. And she said it was wonderful.
Yeah.
If I could take that formula and try to help every guy listening, right? I kind of call it the art of loving a woman. And for most of my marriage, I'm going to be brutally honest, I was absolutely, totally clueless about how to love my wife in most ways from this holistic intimacy standpoint. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I finally, in solid recovery, I went to my wife and I said, sweetheart, I need you to teach me how to love you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not good at it. Can you please, this is going to sound so weird. Can you please mentor me in how to love you as my wife?
Mm.
I say today, most of what I know about marital intimacy, my wife taught me.
Yeah.
And that's a hard place for a guy to come from because of our egos. Sure. And, you know, well, I know exactly, you know, I'm an expert on, you know, loving women. And I know, right, locker room banter and, you know, all the stuff that we go through. But it doesn't come natural to us. It wasn't modeled to us by our fathers or other male figures. We don't know.
Yeah.
And it's all about the physical. It's in this physical box. And we think that we can suddenly bring it up or demand it of our wives, and we wonder why they react in a negative way.
Yes. Well, and for our addict listeners, yeah, we want to be clear. This is not in any way come down on our listeners at all. I mean, we so relate to this topic. I mean, I'm pretty sure I threw that love language talk around with my wife more than one time in my addiction days. But it really is from a lack of both understanding of what love really is, right? Love is something that is, if I love another person, truly loving another person means loving myself first, finding balance and fulfillment within myself first, and in my relationship with my higher power. And then it's something that I move on to extend out to and try to receive from others if I'm doing it in the healthiest way possible. In other words, physical touch, among many other things that it is again, love language. For a lot of us, if we're not in a healthy headspace, that really isn't an accurate way to put it. It would more accurately to be brutal would be, this is more of my drug language, right? This isn't a way in which I feel healthy love. For many of us addicts, this is how I get emotionally managed. This is how I get regulated. This is how I get my fix so that I can keep going. This is how I take from my spouse so that I can continue going on with dealing with, you know, the daily stresses and the other things in my life, as opposed to being an expression, it's something that we're parasitically sucking dry from our partner. And going back to your example, Mark, right? when it becomes more of a need and less of an expression, whatever among whatever else it becomes transactional. And your spouse is always going to pick up on that, because if you are in a place where you are truly needing, well, truly with air quotes, because nobody truly needs sex, I would assert. But if that's your end goal, like you said, your spouse is going to pick up on that. That's not intimacy. It's really manipulation. If right. we really just call it what it is.
And like you said, this isn't to, you know, jump on the case of, you know, all the guys listening. Guys, this just means that we didn't learn how to do this along the way. We learned just the opposite. I learned that the physical was the place that I went to self-soothe and to cope and to survive in my life. And it's very natural for us to get into that place. So it doesn't mean that you're hopelessly broken or a loser or pathetic or whatever. It just means that that's a wiring in the brain, you know, a behavior that you picked up along the way.
Yes.
And the first step is to become aware of it and then to kind of challenge it and stand up to it. And what we're saying is, I show you a better way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it really is. It is all about the challenging of the thinking. We so empathize with both sides of the coin with this. You know, to kind of wrap up, because I know we're growing short on time here, something to shoot for you guys out there, and this comes from experience for both Mark and I, as well as from the clinical side. If you're in a healthy headspace, you will have an affinity for physical touch, probably more so than your spouse in many cases.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one among many forms of love language. A hallmark of dependency on this is when physical touch becomes the sole love language. Why pornography, as we discuss oftentimes, rewires the brain in many destructive, toxic, distorted ways. And one of them is that it takes this concept of healthy physical intimacy out of the context of, hey, this is one way to experience, to express intimacy among 15 others. And what does it say? This is intimacy. Sex is intimacy. Your marriage is good if you had sex 7 times this week in crazy positions. Your marriage is doomed if you didn't have sex at all this week, right?
Right.
It becomes the gauge. We become wired through pornography, through other toxic sexual experiences, to where sex becomes, you know, a good way to put it is our brain subconsciously begins to put it on this pedestal, right? Yeah. And this end all be all to a relationship, when the reality is, as you indicated, Mark, it's just one among many, right? And so sex or physical touch will not be a sole need if you're in a healthy headspace. It's going to be an optional desire, right? It's going to be one thing among many that you will appreciate and cherish as part of the relationship with another person.
And on the hope side, if the other areas of your relationship and intimacy are really good and you're working on them, it will enhance that physical side.
Yes.
Exponentially. It will be more wonderful, better than you ever imagined, because, as I often say, it's not about what is happening in that setting of physical intimacy. It's what you bring with you. All the other ways you've been connecting and everything else you've been doing comes to that culmination or celebration. That's what makes it great.
Absolutely. Well, and it's important for us addicts to really ask ourselves. I had to ask myself this question. You know, what am I really wanting here? Am I getting really, really what I really want? As long as sex is a need, or if my spouse is providing it for me simply transactionally, or to try to medicate me or manage me, or just because I want it, right? If she's conceding to it rather than wanting to willingly participate, I would ask all the men out there, let's be real with yourself. Is that really what you're looking for? Is that really fulfilling? It wasn't for me. You know, an orgasm's great. Orgasms can do and always will rock. But I will tell you that at the end of the day, all of those transactional sexual experiences that I had in many different unhealthy headspaces will never compare to those true intimate moments that I have with my partner, where we're both there, not because of a need or because of pressure or because of any sort of outside external force that's saying this has to happen. But because we are both in a place where we care and are connected so much that it's a natural outgrowth of that.
Exactly.
That is that you want to have crazy sex. That is crazy sex. Not what the tabloid at the supermarket is going to tell you.
Right. So as we talk about an assignment to take away from this, you know, we encourage all the partners listening, for example, women spouses listening, come up with your boundaries about this. What are your boundaries around physical touch? What are you comfortable with? What are you not? What do you need in order for this holistic intimacy to take place so that you feel like you're naturally coming into that physical place? Share that with your partner.
Provide him with a love map.
A love map. I love that. Yeah, that's a great term. He needs to know your love map.
Yes.
My wife had to teach this to me. And I encourage all the women who are listening, you know, be bold, be courageous, be confident in your own intuition about what this is for you. And then share it with your partner.
Yes.
He doesn't know how to do this in many ways. And believe me, I know. Well, if I have to tell him all of that, then it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. He should know. Well, I could tell he's a guy, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He may not want to admit it, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
And you're going to be the greatest mentor he has about how to do this, right? How do you love a woman? Well, why don't you ask a woman?
Sure.
Why don't you go ask your spouse, how do I love you? How what does that mean to you? How can I best do this in a holistic way?
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that.
Yep. And being sure as always with the caveat that you guys are in a safe enough place to do that, right?
Please.
That's kind of the bonus prize side of it. But then the other side of it, right, guys, is, you know, to be looking at yourself, right? You know, begin exploring the ways and get honest with yourself and look for ways in which, because again, everyone's at a different stage in this process, right? And you're all going to be at different levels of progression with this, but it's a good conversation for all of us to have, whether you've been sober 7 years or 7 minutes. You know, are there ways in which sex is currently still in need, right? Is it still operating in a codependent way for me? Do I still look to it as a lifesaver as opposed to something to be enjoyed, right? Am I a drowning man in a sea trying to grasp for something to keep me afloat? Or is this, or is it more of an experience on the beach as a result of all these other, of the other ways in which we're developing and growing? And if you can start looking at that, and again, if it's in a safe place, we would encourage you to come up with on your own one way in which maybe you can start to move that needle away more so than wherever it's at, away from that codependent place to a more optional, again, healthy, balanced. It's going to sound like some cereal commercial, but part of a balanced, healthy diet, you know, emotional diet,
right?
As opposed to just the one thing. So anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for being with us as always. It's always good to be with you. Feel free to send us additional questions as always at pbscpodcast.com. Thoughts and feedback about the podcast as always are welcome as well. We love you. We care about you. We hope you have a great week. Take care, and we will talk to you soon. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.